I gotta tell you, that is the way to do a Christmas carol right there, baby. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 1330 KNSS. Joining us at the top of the hour, Andy Levinson, Senior Vice President of Tour Administration for the PGA Tour. Andy, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. This is an issue that I served on the House Fed and State Committee last session. We did a hearing on the particular bill. For those who are not familiar with it, the Supreme Court recently came down with the ruling. They hadn't done it when we heard the bill last year, so we kind of punted. But it's going to come up this year because the United States Supreme Court authorized states to allow sports wagering. And so now many states, and you can probably give me an idea of how many, but many states have now allowed that kind of, you know, sports betting. I guarantee you that the Kansas legislature will take this up in the spring, some because of the fairness, some because they see this as an opportunity to increase revenues to the state. And I've heard figures anywhere from $5 million to $100 million. And so there's always, you know, there are always people in Topeka that are looking for more ways to make money. And so I'm curious if you can kind of give us some insight on the Supreme Court actions and just in general, give us kind of set this up. Tell us a little bit about where we're at and how we got there.
Sure. Well, in 1992, a law was put in place, which was a federal prohibition on sports betting with a few carve outs, including the state of Nevada. But primarily, sports betting has been prohibited in the United States since that time. About 7 years ago, the state of New Jersey filed a lawsuit which claimed that it had the right to authorize sports betting in their state. That lawsuit ended up going through every stage of the court and eventually came to the Supreme Court. And those arguments were heard almost a year ago. And from the line of questioning that the Supreme Court had, our legal advisors basically said that it seemed like the Supreme Court was going to strike down that federal prohibition. And in May, that's exactly what they did. And what they said was that the law was unconstitutional, and that each state had the right to determine whether or not its citizens should be allowed to participate in the activity of sports betting. And since that time, a number of states have, like Kansas, have considered legislation, but very few states actually passed new legislation in 2018. In fact, only two states passed new legislation. Currently, there are eight states, including Nevada, which already had it, and some other states which already had it available to them should the federal prohibition be struck down. But there are only eight states that are currently offering sports betting at this time. But it does seem like in 2019, there could be a considerable number of states that look at this issue. Now, whether or not they get something across the line is another matter, but we do anticipate that we could see as many as 20 states considering new legislation next year.
So when we're looking at potential bills, I mean, are we looking at something, obviously the state would regulate it? Would the state actually be providing it? Would it be provided through the lottery or state-owned casinos? I mean, what are the specifics?
Well, It depends on the state. Some states will have to create new regulatory bodies and create new sets of rules around sports betting. Other states, which have had gaming in other forms for quite some time, will use their existing resources to conduct that activity. But what we're interested in, we as a professional sports league, are making sure that that our voice is being heard as new sports betting legislation is being considered, and that certain principles are included in any new legislation.
So what are those principles? I mean, what, because that's, I mean, I know this is a complex issue. And I remember as we were listening to testimony, we had testimony from Major League Baseball, from the NFL, and from the NBA, which was, to be honest with you, it was just kind of cool. I mean, you're having testimony from the NFL. That was kind of cool. But just what are those core issues that are so important to your organization? I mean, it's the PGA.
Sure. Well, first and foremost for us, it's very important that we protect the integrity of our competition. Integrity is fundamental. It's part of the DNA of golf. Our players call rules against themselves, rules violations against themselves. And so in any new legislation, we'd like to see integrity protections that really requires transparency. And that's transparency between the betting operators and the leagues and whatever entity is overseeing sports betting in that state. And the way to accomplish that is open data sharing, better level data, so that everybody can see what's going on. It would, of course, be anonymous, but if we had visibility to all the activity that was going on, then we would be better equipped to notice any anomalies in the activity and protect the integrity of our competition. So that's first and foremost for us. We're also looking for consumer protections. And those things can be age restrictions or self-exclusion programs for problem gamblers. And also a requirement to use the official source of information to create markets and settle bets. So every league collects its own statistics and its own data at real time. And we feel that it's very important for our fans who are engaging in sports betting on our competition to know that the bets are being settled with the accurate real-time data. So from a consumer protection perspective, we feel that use of official league data is a must. We're also advocating for mobile and internet betting. And the reason we're advocating for that is first and foremost because in the regulated markets internationally, more than 95% of all bets placed are done through the internet. And most of the betting that's taking place in the illegal black market in the United States is also taking place on the internet. So we know how the people expect to engage in this activity. And the only way that we can push out the very robust black market that exists in the United States today, we need to allow for mobile and internet betting. And then finally, we're looking for protections for our business. We know that we are going to experience increased costs associated with the monitoring of sports betting around the country. We also know that there's going to be a significant amount of increased risk put on our leagues and our athletes. And we feel it's just a matter of fairness that when betting operators are profiting off of the competitions that we create, that we invest in, and on the performances of our athletes, then we should be compensated fairly for that. So those are the core areas that we're looking for.
Okay. So, and those are a lot of the things I think you'd find agreement from most Kansans, most of our listeners. I know when we were in the hearings, you know, most of the members of the committee were in agreement with a lot of it. And the numbers are question. I mean, who knows how much money we're talking about here? And I think a lot of it depends on how much you charge, you know, how much the state were to charge. If we tried to charge 20% as a service fee or a tax or regulatory fee, well, then I think the black market betting would continue. I think it was somewhere 5-6%, something like that, I think then people would, it's going to be reasonable. I'm going to stop going to my bookie Guido. I'm going to buy it legally. I'm going to gamble legally through the lottery or the local state-owned casino, whatever. The areas that I think, as I recall from the committee hearing and that kind of stick out to me are the last two, which is the mobile internet betting and the cost, the share. Mm-hmm. Because I think those are the ones that, I mean, the one is, you know, how does my grandson picks up my phone because I've been playing backgammon on it. And he, I mean, what's to prevent? What are the safety? And I know the consumer protection part, well, along the same lines of consumer protection, how do you prevent a child from gambling on a phone app? I mean, that I think that's an issue. And then the other is that percent share. So we'll take up the mobile one, and then maybe after the break we can talk about that percent share.
Sure. Well, obviously, the betting operators would create platforms that have a number of safeguards in them to ensure that age restrictions are properly enforced. And that would be the amount of information, personal information that would be required to set up an account. And then obviously accounts would have to be password protected to prevent the types of situations that you're talking about. And I feel confident that it's in everyone's best interest, not just the sports league, but the betting operators as well, that those types of safeguards are in place.
So it wouldn't be as simple as, you know, I left my phone unlocked, I opened the app. There'd be a lot more of a further protections, further safety measures in order to actually get into the application. So
That's correct. I would liken it to trying to access your bank app, for example.
Perfect. Okay, I think that, and I know that was one of the issues that I think people were concerned with as I was talking to folks leading up to our call. If you stick around through the break here, Andy, afterwards we will take up the other part of it. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 1330 KNSS.